Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, welcome to our exploration of To Kill a Mockingbird. I am George Fullman, and brought to you by Your Morning Podcast Studios, we embark on a journey into both the novels and its cinematic counterpart. Joining us are esteemed guests David Oxtail, a film expert, and Curtis Tall, a historian. Together, we'll unravel the layers of this timeless story and its profound impact on literature and film. Stay tuned for a deep dive into the heart of To Kill a Mockingbird. Alright, so let's get straight to it. We have David Oxtail on the line. Say hi, David, and perhaps introduce more about yourself, sir.
Greetings, fellow enthusiasts. I'm David Oxtail, and I'm thrilled to be your guide to the cinematic landscape of To Kill a Mockingbird. With a background in film studies, I have dedicated myself to unraveling the intricacies of adapting classic literature to the silver screen. The prospect of diving into the cinematic craftsmanship of this iconic movie has been buzzing with excitement.
Yes, the movie is iconic indeed, David. I do agree with you. Now, on the other side of the line, we have the historian who will be inside of our podcast, Curtis Tall. Please, sir, introduce more about yourself. Unfortunately, Mr. Curtis Tall seems to be having some problems at his end. However, earlier, he did mention that he specializes in history, more particularly the social dynamics of the early 20th century. He also expresses his interest in dissecting the history accuracy and the portrayal of racial tensions in that story. Without further ado, let's get straight to inquiring about this movie and novel, To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird is a typical movie you would see back in the 60s, hinting the relations between the characters and the racial tension. It takes place in the 30s in the United States of America. One of the characters in the novel and the movie goes by the name of Scout. Now, Scout was an ambitious young girl who at the time would live in a middle-class level family, not rich yet not poor. However, the innocence of her childhood sees her walking past the harsh realities of the era she was living in. She was able to watch her father, Atticus Finch, in court, where Mr. Finch is a lawyer towards a dark-skinned American. However, for this case, they lost. Scout, who has no idea the definition of racism, would think this occasion would be normal, that all dark-skinned people are just treated the same way. This also applied to the inequalities based on wealth. Walter Cunningham Jr., a classmate of Scout, lived in a not-so-wealthy family, and when he was invited over towards the house of Mr. Finch for dinner, it would seem that Walter consumed as much as he possibly could, with one way he did it was pouring syrup more than usual. Scout, who was not exposed to the harsh realities, figured it was a normal occasion to pour only a considerable amount of syrup on a person's plate, which makes her feel unusual when she sees Walter do his action. This makes Scout instantly call out Walter, specifically saying, "What in the world are you doing?" as if Walter was a level below Scout or something that bothers Scout a lot. Usually, when the character is that ignorant towards the problems in that era, it's usually made by an author who either learned that specific era or the author has experienced it herself or himself. Harper Lee is the author of the book To Kill a Mockingbird, and she has also created multiple other books. Harper Lee's inspiration for To Kill a Mockingbird emanates from her upbringing in the racially charged environment of the American South in the 1930s. Influenced by her experiences in Monroeville, Alabama, and her father's profession as a lawyer, Lee infused the narrative with semi-autobiographical elements, notably through the character of Scout. This personal connection lends authenticity to the exploration of themes such as innocence, morality, and racial injustice, resonating with readers and viewers alike.
Let's take a closer look at some pivotal scenes from To Kill a Mockingbird that illuminate the film's themes and characters. One such scene is a children's visit to Calpurnia's church. This poignant moment contrasts the lives of the white and black communities in Macon, shedding light on the pervasive racism of the era. To the dilapidated church and the unity of its congregation, we gain insight into the economic and social disparities faced by the African Americans. It's a stark reminder of the inequalities ingrained in society. Another significant scene is Scout's first day at school, where she encounters ignorance and prejudice firsthand. Miss Caroline's naivety and the socioeconomic divide amongst the students highlight the injustices present in Macomb. Scout's realization of the importance of her literacy, despite Miss Caroline's admonishments, underscores the power of education and knowledge in challenging societal norms. Lastly, the scene involving the mad dog serves as a turning point in the children's perception of their father, Atticus. His display of marksmanship reveals a hidden talent and a deeper sense of moral integrity. Through Atticus's actions, we learn about the true meaning of courage and humility, as he chooses to wield his skill responsibly, without boasting or pride. These scenes, among others, exemplify the power of visual storytelling in conveying complex themes and character dynamics. Through cinematography, To Kill a Mockingbird transcends its status as a mere adaptation and becomes a timeless exploration of justice, morality, and humanity.
Yes, I gotta say, I do completely agree with your statement, Mr. Oxtail, and I believe that is a very important part of our analyzation on the movie To Kill a Mockingbird. I believe the setting of the story also has something to do with the ethical choices and the moral messages given by the story.
The story was set around the time the Great Depression was happening, and the Great Depression profoundly shaped the racial dynamics in the South, creating a sort of backdrop of economic scarcity and heightened racial tensions. These conditions are essential to understand when examining To Kill a Mockingbird, as they frame the narrative settings and conflicts. A direct panel from that era that mirrors the trial in Harper Lee's novel is the case of Scottsboro Boys. In 1931, nine African-American teenagers were unjustly accused and convicted in Alabama, reflecting the deep-seated racial prejudices and often unfair legal proceedings African-Americans faced. Examining historical context of the Great Depression and the parallels with the actual legal injustices, like, for example, the Scottsboro Boys case, we gain a richer sort of understanding of the settings and themes to Kill a Mockingbird. Moreover, understanding the timing of the film's release offers insight to its impact and meaning and the critical role it played during a pivotal era in American history.
Oh, I see. So that's how the setting affects it. That is actually quite interesting, Mr. Tall. The setting can affect many parts of a story, and this one very specifically looks into the era and the problems with it, along with the, for example, racial tensions, discriminations, etc.
Yeah, so when we consider the setting of How to Kill a Mockingbird, for both the novel and the film, it's really important to understand the influence of the Great Depression on the southern part of the United States. This era really, in a way, how should I say this, exacerbated racial inequalities and set a backdrop for Harper Lee's narrative. The scarcity, I guess we could say, of economic opportunities led to heightened racial tensions as competition for jobs and resources, they commonly fell along racial lines, further deepening the divisions in already like very segregated society. Now let's dive into a specific parallel that the story's fictional trial was based off of, which is the case of the Scottsboro Boys in 1931. The case was about nine African-American teenagers that were falsely accused of raping two white women on a train in Alabama. Much like Tom Robinson's trial in the movie, this real case highlighted prejudices that often resulted in very unfair trials and disproportionate sentences for African Americans. Like, as seen in the movie, where although there was very, very solid evidence for Tom Robinson's innocence, he was still convicted as guilty and sentenced to death. The trial of these young men were marked by like very overwhelming racial animosity and basically the absence of proper legal defense. These were themes that Lee mirrors through the courtroom drama in the novel and the film.
Alright, now let's discuss. Let's delve into the heart of the film. David, could you shed a light on specific scenes that effectively convey the novel's moral questions?
Certainly, George.
In particular, I'm interested in your analysis of the courtroom scene and the cinematic techniques employed to enhance its impact.
The courtroom scene in To Kill a Mockingbird stands out as a powerful moment, encapsulating the moral complexities of the story through strategic use of point-of-view shots and close-ups. The director intensifies the emotional impact of the trial, drawing viewers into the ethical dilemmas faced by Atticus Finch and the community of Macomb. Gregory Peck's portrayal of Atticus Finch, along with the carefully crafted dialogue, highlights the character's unwavering moral stance and the challenges he confronts. Peck's performance prompts the viewers to grapple with questions of justice, empathy, and integrity, echoing the internal conflicts depicted in Harper Lee's novel. In summary, the courtroom scene exemplifies the cinematic artistry of To Kill a Mockingbird, leveraging visual storytelling to deepen engagement with the novel's moral inquiries.
Now, I just want to say, David, that was a very insightful breakdown. But building on your points about the courtroom scene, I think it's very fascinating to see how these cinematic techniques not only, I guess, serve the story's dramatic needs, but they also reflect the broader historical context. In the 1930 South, the kind of moral courage Atticus Finch displays was both necessary and unfortunately very rare. His stance in the courtroom challenges the norms of his time, mirroring the real-world bravery of people during the civil rights movements decades later. Moreover, I guess, the ethical dilemmas Atticus Finch faces resonate deeply with the legal and societal challenges depicted in similar historical trials, like those of the Scottsboro Boys, underscoring the systemic issues of racial injustice by positioning the audience to see through the character's eyes. Especially in such a charged setting, the film invites viewers to confront these harsh realities themselves. In a sense, the courtroom scene not only captures the novel spirit, but also acts as a reminder of the struggle of justice and equality.
Well, that's pretty much it of us analyzing the ethical choices and moral messages of the movie To Kill a Mockingbird. Once again, we thank you, Curtis Tall and David Oxtail, for appearing in our podcast, your morning podcast, and you are free to talk about the movie itself. I am George Fullman, your host, and I hope you have a great day ahead. Truly yours, your morning podcast studio.
Thank you. Thanks.